Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Was Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement, a pedophile? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In yesterday's broadcast, we were referring to an article that was posted on the web. It was on KUTV.com. KUTV is Channel 2 here in the Salt Lake area. But it was an article titled, "Wall Appears Tagged with Graffiti Reading Joseph Smith Was a Pedophile." And there was a picture of the wall in the article that said just that. And there was also a picture of what the wall looked like after city workers apparently covered up that statement with paint. So yesterday we were discussing this issue, and I think we need to recap some things. But before we go on, because I asked the question at the beginning of the show, and because the word pedophile is used in the article headline here, what exactly is a pedophile? Most people have a pretty good understanding of what that is, but what does the dictionary actually say, Eric?
I'm going to use three different websites to help us understand what that word means. One website says a person who is sexually attracted to children. And then Merriam-Webster says sexual perversion, in which children are the preferred sexual object. And then I have another one that comes from Dorland's Medical Dictionary, and it defines pedophilia as abnormal fondness for children, sexual activities of adults with children.
Now, why would this person, whoever it was, spray paint a wall with those words accusing the founder of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints of committing such an act? I think based on the definitions that you gave, many people would probably argue, and he did seem to fit the pattern of those definitions. Now, for a member of the LDS Church to acknowledge that their founder, in fact, was engaged in this kind of behavior, I would hope would be abhorrent to many Latter-day Saints. However, as we discussed yesterday, many Mormons have argued on Joseph Smith's defense, saying, well, hey, that kind of marriage was not unusual. It was okay back in the 1800s to marry someone in their early teens. And as we brought out yesterday, and I want to reemphasize this again, we don't find statistics to support that. We certainly do hear Latter-day Saints using that argument that marrying young teenagers was the norm. But it certainly wasn't the norm for married men, folks, and Joseph Smith was married to Emma on January 17, 1827. And as I brought out yesterday, she was 22 at the time. Joseph Smith was 21 years at the time, which falls very much right into the norm of the marrying age, at least for a first-time marriage among those in the 1800s. So even Joseph Smith's first marriage doesn't show this type of an abnormality that his later plural marriages seems to show. Where am I getting my information? I'm getting it from an article that was written by Michael R. Haynes for the National Bureau of Economic Research based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It was titled "Long-Term Marriage Patterns in the United States from Colonial Times to the Present." If you want to find that article, just go to nber.org. In yesterday's show, we spent a considerable amount of time looking at some of the statements that Mr. Haynes makes in this article, showing that that understanding that many Latter-day Saints apparently have is just unfounded. But we have to also take into consideration some other issues, and I mentioned one of them just now, and we mentioned them yesterday. It was never normal for married men to marry other women, especially married women, and we know that polyandry was a part of Joseph Smith's behavior as well. But don't you think it seems odd, Eric, that while many Latter-day Saints have no problem admitting that Brigham Young, who really in our estimation is probably the champion of polygamy, had sex with a lot of his plural wives, why is it that they always want to bend over backwards to try to convince us that perhaps Joseph Smith never had sex with any of his plural wives?
And you mentioned Brigham Young, but we could name dozens of men that are documented. Orson Pratt. We could go through a whole list. John Taylor, and show how they must have had sex because they were having children with these multiple wives. So, yes, Joseph Smith seems to be in this protection barrier. A lot of Latter-day Saints think somehow that it would be wrong for him to have sex. I'm not sure. But we have heard that on the streets where people will deny that he had sex with his multiple wives.
The question I think that's often ignored by many Latter-day Saints is, well, what does Mormon scripture say about plural marriage? They often will point to section 132 in the Doctrine of and Covenants, but what do you do with Jacob 2 in the Book of Mormon? Because it says very clearly that David and Solomon truly had many wives and concubines before me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord, I have led this people forth out of the land of Jerusalem by the power of mine arm, that I might raise up unto me a righteous branch from the fruit of the loins of Joseph. In verse 27 of chapter 2, it says, wherefore, my brethren, hear me and hearken to the word of the Lord, for there shall not any man among you have, save it be one wife, and concubines he shall have none, for I, the Lord, delight in the chastity of women. But then we get to verse 30. For if I will, saith the Lord of hosts, raise up seed unto me, I will command my people. Otherwise, they shall hearken unto these things. So it sounds like the only exception to this rule would be if God felt it was necessary to raise up seed or to procreate. If that is the only reason given in Mormon scripture for plural marriage, then we have to ask the question, well, then why would Joseph Smith be engaging in this practice if he respects what the Book of Mormon is teaching in this particular passage, Jacob 2:30? I think that's a fair question. We admit that there's no evidence to show that Smith ever had any children through these plural relationships, but does that outright deny that sexual relations were going on?
Well, what's the purpose of polygamy for eternity? It's to be able to populate your new world with children with these multiple women. Well, what would be the purpose of having it here in this world, this life? Well, obviously, that you're supposed to have children according to the Book of Mormon itself. So I think it's pretty clear that if it's being done the spiritual way, the godly way, so to speak, then it needs to be done according to the way that the Mormon scripture has it.
Well, you bring up a good point because Mormons will often argue, well, he was married to some of these women only for eternity. So there was no sexual relations going on during this mortality. Okay, but wouldn't that also mean, though, that in eternity sexual relations would be going on? So still you're going to have it at some time,
right?
Maybe not now in this mortality with all the women, but at some point that would be taking place.
Bill, we have so much evidence from Mormon historians themselves. These people don't have a bent against the church, but they have admitted that Joseph Smith was having sexual relations with these wives.
Let me begin with a citation from a book titled Joseph Smith, Rough Stone Rolling by Richard Lyman Bushman. And as you said, Bushman, certainly, he says some things that are pretty controversial because he, I think, is pretty honest in his research. But he says on page 438 of his book, he says, Joseph never wrote his personal feelings about plural marriage, save for the revelation given in the voice of God. Everything on the subject comes from the people around him. As for the world at large, plural marriage would confirm all their worst fears. Sexual excess was considered the all too common fruit of pretended revelation. That's an interesting line that he gives us here. Sexual excess was considered the all too common fruit of pretended revelation. And yet, we see that among a lot of religious fakers. They will use their religious authority over their followers to abuse their followers, and many of them have engaged in sexual practices with female followers in these types of movements. But Bushman goes on to say Joseph's enemies would delight in one more evidence of a revelator's antinomian transgressions. He also risked prosecution under Illinois' anti-bigamy law. So even though the Articles of Faith states that they want to follow the laws of the land, Smith would not be following Illinois law if he was engaged in any type of bigamous relationships. This is what Bushman says at the bottom of page 438 and the top of 439. Close relationships were further curtailed by business. Joseph had to look after Emma and the children, Emma being his first legal wife, manage the church, govern the city, and evade the extradition officers from Missouri. As the marriages increased, there were fewer and fewer opportunities for seeing each wife. And I can understand that. Joseph Smith's a busy guy, okay? Not only in these areas that he is mentioning here in this paragraph, so I get that. But then he goes on to say, even so, nothing indicates that sexual relations were left out of plural marriages. So here you have a Mormon historian admitting that Joseph Smith was engaged in these sexual practices. My question in closing this show is, how many sexual relations does Joseph Smith have to engage in before a Mormon gets offended? How many? One? Two? Now that we know that the church admits in this article in KUTV.com makes reference to the Gospel Topics essay that talks about plural marriage and the fact that Joseph Smith did, in fact, marry a 14-year-old, Helen Mar Kimball, who was the daughter of Heber C. Kimball. But how many sexual relations outside of marriage does it take for a Mormon to get offended?
Or even how about improper contact with teenagers? How many would you say? Does one improper contact make you a pedophile? I would say so. How about 11? Joseph Smith had 11 wives who were between the ages of 14 and 20. That seems to be problematic for not only us here in the 21st century. I think it was problematic back then. This is why Joseph Smith would not tell anybody. He told the wives that he married to keep it secret. His own wife, Emma, had no clue as to how many marriages actually were going on. And later in her life, she denied that it ever happened. If this is something that God intended for Joseph Smith and all Latter-day Saints, why was he so bent on keeping this secret? And really, for many Latter-day Saints, until the last few years, they didn't even know Joseph Smith was married to multiple women until the church actually came out and admitted that he had between 30 and 40 wives in the Gospel Topics essays.
And Smith lied about these plural relationships, not only to his wife on numerous occasions, and this can be easily documented, he also lied to his church followers. Clear up to late in his life, he was lying about this. And finally, it took some of those that were close to him to get together and publish what was known as the Nauvoo Expositor to do exactly that, to expose Joseph Smith for the fraud he really was. And that ultimately leads to his demise when the printing press is destroyed, as if that was going to somehow quench all these rumors that were going around about Joseph Smith's behavior.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.